here at Emmanuel. We've been taking some of our scripture study time over the past week to look at 1 Corinthians 15, particularly honing in on verses 3 through 5, seeing how Paul lays out for us four key facts about the life of Jesus. And he presents them to us as those things of most importance. We've been calling our little study the four most important facts, trying to realize that in all the things that are buzzing around us, all the information that bombards us, we need to hone in on what is most important. And here Paul lays it out for us. And we've already seen that Christ has died, and we studied that last Sunday. The fact that he was buried, we studied that on Thursday evening. And today, focusing in on the third and fourth, all to do with the resurrection. This morning, the third phrase, Christ was raised on the third day. And the question we want to ask as we study is, do I view the resurrection as one of the most important facts in the world? As you think about your own life daily, day by day, do you take this fact and you cling to it and draw strength from it? Without it, you'd be lost. Well, let's read God's word together, beginning with verses 3 through 5, and then we'll skip down to verse 12. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. May God bless his word to us this morning. One way to judge the importance of something to your life is to see how you do without it. Judging whether something is important by taking it away for a time and see what changes. So, for example, if you want to see, husbands, how valuable your wife is to everyday life, send her away for a few days to spend time with a friend. And then see how daily life goes around the house and just the ups and downs. And see how well you do. All of a sudden, it might come home that, wow, she is really, really important. Because you see what it's like without her. Or maybe you take your car. What happens when your car breaks down and is at the shop for a couple days? All of a sudden you realize how valuable that thing is. When you have to rely on other people to get you from here to there and you don't have the flexibility that you're used to. And you realize, wow, this is really, really important to me. Well, it is that line of argument that Paul picks up here. In order to take this fact, the resurrection of Jesus, as one of the most important facts, he doesn't just state it. He then takes us on a little theological thought experiment. What if the resurrection of Jesus never happened? What if Christ wasn't raised? Then see what changes. And he lays it out for us in order to bring home, wow, this is not just important, this is one of the most important facts in all of the world. Paul's addressing what was one of many problems in the church in Corinth. Apparently, there were those who denied that the dead could ever be raised. Resurrection wasn't even possible or necessary or even a valuable thing. There seems to be perhaps a variety of reasons people believed that. But they were thinking, you really didn't need a resurrection to be a good Christian. You really didn't need a bodily Jesus raised from the dead in order to have a good life of faith and hope in this world. And Paul is going to take that head on in a couple of ways. We'll see tonight, if you're able to join us or perhaps grab the audio online later. Tonight, one of the things we're going to focus in on is how Paul addresses that by focusing in on the factual historical reality of the bodily resurrection, a more of a courtroom case. That's this evening. But tonight, the case is a more theological one. You want to do without the resurrection, Paul says? Let's just see how that goes for you. Let's see what you give up, what you lose, if there is no resurrection. First and foremost, if there's no resurrection in general, there's no resurrection of Jesus. So let's go with that. No resurrection of Jesus? You really want to live without that? Let's see what that looks like. And he takes us. He takes us this morning through that. And what we want to do this morning is focus in with the Corinthians and God speaking to us about just how important this is. Hopefully we walk out of here this morning thinking to ourselves, I don't want to live without Jesus raised for 1 minute. And so the importance of it weighing upon our hearts. But actually, even more than that, we want to walk out with a sense of, therefore, I'm going to live differently. Because that's what you do when you think something is important and you really appreciate it. You live differently, right? If you have a true, real sense that your spouse is incredibly valuable on an hourly, daily, weekly basis, well, then you express appreciation. You serve, you love, you honor. It comes out in your actions. Same perhaps with your car. If you really value your car, you probably care for it and take it in for maintenance and make sure the insurance is up to date and so forth. If you think something's important, you live differently. So part of our goal is to walk out thinking, wow, I need this resurrected Jesus. But part of our goal is also to think about how we're going to walk in next year and hoping to be different people. Because we've seen the value of the resurrection, now we're going to live differently. We're going to appreciate this raised Jesus more, serve him, strive to be like him more, all because he really has been raised. But Paul first is going to take us on a journey. Well, let's think. What happens? What do we lose if there is no resurrection of Jesus? The first thing he says, we'll focus in on three things. The first thing he says is, if Jesus isn't raised, the message is hollow. Verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. The Christian message, the Christian faith, what Paul in verse 1 calls the gospel, the good news, whether it's that message proclaimed, he speaks about himself as an apostle and the other early church leaders, the message proclaimed. But he also gets into the message believed, right? Your faith, right? The message, either in its proclaimed nature or its believed nature, he says, if you take that message, but you eliminate Jesus raised, what do you have left? Paul says it's vain. Vain here in the sense of it's empty. It's without substance. It's hollow. Hollow. Kids, I don't know if this takes place at your house, but in our house this time of year, we get into some really hotly debated conversations about what is the best and the worst Easter candy. Do you guys talk about the best Easter candy or the worst Easter candy? I'm wondering if we can all agree on one particular thing, which is one of the worst Easter candies is the hollow chocolate bunny. Right? Because you get all excited, you see this big foil wrap thing, and you think, oh, this is going to be fantastic, look at all that chocolate, and then you grab it, it's nothing. Right? It's hollow. right? It's empty. It's this thin little shell thing. And maybe you even bite into it and you're like, well, there's nothing there. It's just, it's empty. It's hollow. It's got no substance. That's a kind of a silly picture. But apply that to the resurrection. Apply that to the Christian message. Apply that to faith. And Paul says, you eliminate Jesus raised. What do you have left? It's vain. It's empty. It's hollow. It's hollow. You don't have anything of value left over. You see how Paul is presenting the resurrection. This isn't just some optional, oh, that's a nice add-on. This is the very core. You get rid of this, you lose everything. You think back in verse 4 about how Paul says that the Jesus raised on the third day is in accordance with the scriptures. So he takes it all the way back to the Old Testament scriptures, just like the death of Jesus. And he says, this is what the Old Testament has been leading to and pointing to and prophesying about. So you get rid of Jesus, the whole Old Testament becomes meaningless and empty. You might remember how the apostles loved as they preached Jesus to go back to the Old Testament and quote things like Psalm 16. There was one of their favorites where there's the verse 10 that says that the Lord will not let your Holy One see decay, see corruption. They said, that's Jesus. Jesus himself liked to speak about the sign of Jonah, right? Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Right? Old Testament, pointing forward to Jesus in individual prophecies, yes, but also the entire flow and substance of the Old Testament was all moving forward to a coming king, a coming savior, who would both reign and rule and conquer forever, but also who would suffer and die. And how do you get both of those? Well, it's all pointing forward to Jesus, dead and raised. So if you get rid of the resurrection and say there is none and Christ isn't raised, you've just lost the entire Old Testament. But even more than that, you've lost Jesus as someone who makes any sense to love, to follow, to worship. Think of it, how often Jesus talked about his mission being focused on going to Jerusalem and there being betrayed, suffering, dying, and rising on the third day. Again and again he spoke of it. And so, if he didn't rise, then what do you have left of Jesus? Jesus who claimed he was going to rise but didn't, which makes him a colossal failure, or perhaps a psychotic madman, or just a pathological liar. But whatever you have left of Jesus, you certainly don't have a good teacher or a savior that you should listen to and follow and get dressed up and worship on a special occasion or give your life to. You don't have that. You have a Jesus you should run from, not run to. Right. So you get the idea. Take out the resurrection of Jesus, and the faith, the message you have left is vain. It's empty. It's hollow. Nothing you want to waste your time with. If we had time, we could spend a little more looking at verse 15. There, Paul adds another wrinkle to the proclamation of the message. He says, if Jesus isn't raised, then we're liars and we're deceiving in God's name. And how horrible that is. But we're going to go on to verse 17, where he says, well, if Jesus isn't raised, you're stuck in your sin. You're stuck in your sin. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If Christ isn't bodily raised from the dead, then your faith is futile in the sense of it's fruitless. It's without power. Right? Remember, what biblical faith is faith in something, trusting something. In this case, trusting Jesus to save from sin. Paul says, if your faith is in a Jesus who's still dead, it's got no power at all. A Jesus to save from sin. That is the core of what he came to do. Remember how Paul, as his number one in his list of four most important facts, said that Jesus died for our sins. You remember at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, just public for the first time, there is the John the Baptist, the great Old Testament prophet, now transitioning into the new, pointing to Jesus and laying it out. Here's what he came to do. He's the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Paul says, if he didn't rise, then he didn't deal with your sin. He didn't deal with your sin. It doesn't work. It has no power. If he didn't rise, you're still stuck in your sin. What lies behind this is the idea that sin is that serious. Sin, right, not just, oops, didn't mean to do that thing. No, sin is much more serious than that. Sin is a breaking of God's law, right? The God who made us, the God who created us with good life and then set us on a path to follow that which is good, that which brings life, that which blesses, that which honors Him as Lord and Creator. And we decide, no, you know what? I want nothing to do with that, Lord. I want to do my own thing that brings death and ugliness and betrays Your holiness. That's what sin is. That's what we do every time we break one of His commandments. It's an offense to God. We spit in the face of our Creator. And so, Scripture says again and again that the wages of sin is death. That's the proper judgment for such an offense against God's holiness. The wages of sin is death. Death is not something that was automatically a part of God's good creation. No, we brought it into the world with our sin, our rebellion against Him. So, in order to deal with our sin, God has to deal with sin in all its ugliness, including the death that it brings about. So you need, as we talked about last week, first, a substitute to die in our place, right? Someone to bear the wrath of God for our sin. There's Jesus on the cross. But you also need someone to conquer the death that sin brings. To take it on, to go into the depths of its ugliness, and to defeat it. And there's the need for resurrection of this same Jesus, the Son of God. Paul uses this language. He says, Romans 4, Christ was delivered up, his death, Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Right? Justification, forgiveness, being declared righteous in God's sight. Right? He's raised for it because he conquers death and the sin which powers death. And so, if there's no resurrection, if there's no Jesus raised, just Jesus dead, and that's it, well, then you're still stuck in your sin. There's no death conquered. There's no sin conquered. Sin still reigns. The guilt of your sin is still there, and it's still on you. And so that which you have done, which has broken God's law and been an offense to Him, you still wear it. And therefore, you're under God's condemnation now and headed for eternal condemnation because you're still stuck in your sin. The guilt of sin remains. But also the power of sin remains in that you're still a slave to it. You can't break away from it. Worse than any prison that men could build. You're still enslaved into the ways of darkness and ugliness and death. And there's no escape. That's what you get if there's no raised Christ. Right? You're starting to get the feel of this? Right? Take away the resurrection. You take away the most precious things in the world. And we're not even done yet. Third, if the resurrection never happened, you have no hope in death. You have no hope in death. And here, Paul wants us to consider both our coming death and the death of those we love, those who have already died. Let's read first, verses 18 and 19. Again, with his same line of argument, if Christ has not been raised. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hoped in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So he starts with other people who are already dead, those who have fallen asleep in Christ. So he's talking about believers in Christ is his formula for those who are trusting in Jesus as Savior and following him. He says, if believers have fallen asleep, died, if they've fallen asleep, but there's no resurrection, what then? Believers who've fallen asleep, and some of your minds, probably all of us, should immediately think of those we really care about and those we've loved who have died. And maybe your mind goes back to that scene at the graveside or that scene at the funeral home. And there's the body, lifeless. But there's a message that's proclaimed. Maybe it's the words of Jesus read. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit-inspired words of Paul read. And it's talk of resurrection. Talk of this scene of death is not the end. That because there is hope. Because though we die, yet shall we live trusting in Christ. That the soul of this believer is now with the Lord in glory right now. And the message that's talked about is, and the body of this individual will be raised up on that last day when Jesus comes back. And that scene and the message, there's encouragement. Right in the midst of the grief and the sadness of missing the loved one, there is the hope. There is the sure confidence that death didn't win. And there's hope. But what Paul is saying here is if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then that loved one perished. Period. Full stop. That's it. Dead, gone, end of it. No hope for them. No hope for us seeing them again. Just death. And that's all you have. If Christ didn't rise. But he also wants us to think about ourselves. He wants us to think about our own life and our own death. I confessed to the crowd on Thursday night that over the past couple weeks, I've been taking part of my prayer walk through the local cemetery over here around the corner. And a very interesting thing to wander through a cemetery. But one of the impressions you get is, wow, this is going to be me. Right? You see all the names and all the dates, and you're like, pretty soon it's going to be my name and my birth date. And it might be sooner than I think. You start to look at the dates and realize there's a lot of these dates that are fairly close together, closer than I would think. Apparently that happens frequently. It might be me sooner than I think it's going to be. What then? What then? Well, here's Paul saying, well, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, in other words, all we have is just this life, and maybe Jesus will help us out a little bit. Maybe in the midst of all the hardships of this life, in the midst of the suffering and persecution that he says comes with being in Christ and following Jesus, oh, that maybe Jesus will give us a few blessings along the way. But it won't last that long, and then the party's over. And if the party's really over, it's really done. In other words, Jesus just helped us out a little bit in this life only. Paul says, we're to be people most to be pitied. And he says, that's exactly what we get if there is no raised Christ. Yeah, maybe Jesus will help us out a little bit for a couple years. But then that's it. Putting together the weight of Paul's argument here, right? If Christ didn't rise, then hope, life, and faith, right? The message, hollow, right? Our sins, we're still stuck in them, and hope for life and death, it's gone. But then Paul quickly gets to verse 20, and he says, But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The journey has just been hypothetical. It's just a little experiment. He is alive. He is raised. And now, having wrestled with the weight of what it looks like to do without him, a raised Christ, now we're actually ready to appreciate the good news as really, really good. we're able to see and rejoice in what he really does give on an Easter Sunday morning and every Sunday morning and every morning. A raised Christ. There is hope and life and every blessing in the heavenly realms. And so we're ready to appreciate it. First and foremost, we're ready to believe it and trust it. To believe in this Jesus and trust him. And maybe it's for you what you need to do for the very first time. Maybe you haven't trusted in Christ and what he did, and you're not following him. And so this list of things that we talked about as hypothetical, well, if you've already been living without Jesus, then it's not hypothetical to you. This is actually what life is. Right? You're still stuck in your sins, and life is hollow, and there is no hope in death. That is life without Jesus. But the good news here is there is a raised Christ for you to trust in and cling to. And there, all the blessings that come with a raised Christ can be yours if you believe and trust him for the first time and throughout life. So now, feeling the weight of the importance of a raised Jesus, we're ready to first and foremost believe and trust him. But secondly, we're ready to live a life of appreciation and commitment to Christ. Right? Just like a spouse who has a new sense of appreciation because they've lived without for the weekend, having their partner right there helping and doing all the normal things, and now they have a renewed commitment not only to appreciate but to live that appreciation, to serve, to love, to honor, to cherish. How much more now, having thought through the scriptures what we would lose without a raised Christ. Are we ready to live differently because Jesus is indeed alive? Ready to serve, ready to love, ready to honor, right? If Christ really is that important and he really is raised, he's that glorious, why would you want to live for yourself and for your glory? Him and his glory, yeah. More and more, you'll want to run from the very things that he saved you from, that he rose from the grave to rescue you from. You'll want to run from those things and run to the things that match his resurrection, glory, and holiness. In fact, I invite you to join us beginning next week. We're going to, Lord willing, be going back to the book of Galatians and doing a little series within a series on the fruit of the Spirit. It's a study in what does resurrection life look like? What is the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead? What does it look like as it works in us? It looks real. We live differently, all because that work of Christ is in us, and we're excited to pursue him. We're thankful for what he has done for us. And what has he done? First and foremost, as of first importance, the things we cling to, he died, he was buried, and he was raised. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the good news of resurrection, that you have provided this glorious Savior who died and is alive, your very eternal Son. Lord, we're thankful that in his resurrection we have the fulfillment of all you promised and the sure confidence of all you will bring. Lord, that just as he rises, so we are alive in him and we will follow him into glory. Father, we pray that you would give us not only a sense of the importance of this good news, but a hunger to live it out in service and appreciation and love for you, our King. We do pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's close singing of the resurrection. 277.